The play-in begins next week, and so do the Raptors' playoff dreams. And we'll find out who's the most important Raptor today on Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Noor Zainab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, but we're the same old boring faces that you see every day. But today, that's why we brought on the one and only Kareena Mustafa. Thank you so much for joining us, Miss Royalty, the WNBA Royalty, court time here at Homestand. But today, we're going to put her through the ringer when it comes to the Toronto Raptors. I've already apologized for whatever they both put you through, but I will be on your side. So. Okay, we'll see. We'll figure it out. So the first things first, you guys. The Raptors begin their play-in dreams starting next week. But before that, they take on the Celtics twice this week and end everything off with the Bucks. So not the easiest schedule moving forward. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about the play-in because we have clinched that at this point. So we've seen a couple guys come through and Siakam and Freddie and Scotty and OG, even Gary coming off the bench, pretty much making a solid case for being sixth man after the trade deadline. But I want to ask you guys, and to start with you, Kareena, who is the most important Raptor for you for this play-in slash playoff run?
For me, it's going to be Fred. And honestly, quite literally, because of the words that have come out of his own mouth, like he's always going on like podcasts and like shows and talking about how I'm not only a scorer, I can also pass like the ball and I'm like a good point guard, blah, 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 whatever. So we've seen that he can be. He set that record the other night with the 20 assists and the 2020 vision, how they called it. So if he can be that facilitator, even when his shots aren't falling, but he's able to make those plays and find other ways to get the ball in the basket, I think he's going to be the most important player for the Raptors because you need somebody to run the offense and Fred's the guy to do that.
I mean, you can't really make a fault at that after his latest performance.
Did you like look at my notes before the show?
I didn't.
I'm kidding.
I wrote my notes before you did, Justin. Jeez. So maybe look, you looked
anyone's
at mine.
Copying anybody here is Justin.
It
to
wasn't
all of
me.
Us.
I'm original, and I originally agree with you because Fred VanVleet is the most important piece on the Toronto Raptors. Look, Pascal Siakam might be the best player. Fred VanVleet is the most important player. He's the leader of this team. He's the leader of this franchise. He has the second highest usage rate on the team, right? He's also, you know, the best shooter on the team for a team that starves for shooting.
I love that little pause, like waiting for somebody to like jump in and
no,
be like,
because nobody's generally on this show, people have something to say when
the floor is yours.
Oh, thanks. It's my turn now?
Yes. Okay. It's been your turn.
Look, yeah, Fred, after everybody was talking about how he's having a down year the first half of the season, he's been playing like an all-star point guard. After the Jakob Poeltl trade, he's been playing great basketball, nearly 20 points a game, 7 assists a game. Not many starting point guards can put that up on a night-to-night basis. He's been doing that. You've seen the impact Jakob Poeltl has had with him on the pick and rolls, right? And they've just been taking advantage of that on a night-to-night basis. And if the Raptors want to make the playoffs and they really want to, you know, make somewhat of an impact in the first round, Fred VanVleet has to be the driving force.
Jelani, are you agreeing with both of them?
I see the point. I see the value in Fred, of course, right? He's the backbone of this team. But I'm looking at Pascal Siakam. I'm sorry. Like, who's the all-star on this team, right? It's Pascal Siakam.
But
who's a guy that could be All-NBA? It could be Pascal Siakam. And he's been All-NBA before. So I'm looking at him, and I'm saying to myself, if the Raptors want to make noise in that plane, right? You're going to play a team like Chicago, maybe. A team like Atlanta, we'll see, right? You're going to need your best player to show up. I'm sorry. This is the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. So Pascal, I believe in him, and I believe he will step up when called upon because we've seen it, right? Without Pascal Siakam, who are the Toronto Raptors this season, right? A bottom feeder. So I think Pascal, definitely moving forward, we're going to need him. And if you're in a playoff series now, let's say you get through that play-in. Let's say you play a team like Milwaukee, play a team like Boston. You're going to need hands on deck, but of course you're going to need that guy to give you that 25 and 10. Okay, it's going to have to look something like that, 25 and 7. Okay, that's Pascal Siakam, right? And I trust him because looking across the board, right, aside from maybe a guy like Fred and Gary when he's hot, who can I really trust to step up and give me those points, give me those valuable minutes? I don't know because it's been inconsistent all year from this team. So I'm looking at you, Pascal Siakam.
And for me, it's not. Oh, sorry, cutting you off, but to go into that rant too, for me, it's not just about him being able to put up the points and be the main guy on the team, but it's because of the fact that he is the best player on the squad, right? He gets paid the bucks for it. He's leading the team in minutes and points and rebounds. I'm sure that'll change once Jakob Poeltl gets more reps in with the team, but right now it shows that he's the main guy. But it's not just because we need him to be that facilitator, that scorer. I think we just need him to be good because you know the other team will be game planning for him. So he's going to get doubled. And how he reacts to that will be the spacing for the Toronto Raptors. So let's say he's getting doubled. It'll be down to him to figure out what this vision will be look like for him. So if he's getting doubled, he pushes himself in the paint, kicks the ball out, finds the open guy. That's what we need to see from him, because we will need to see beyond just scoring from Pascal on defense, because if he's your main guy, the other team is game planning for him. And what he does with that is how Freddie is, how Scotty is, how OG will come through. I see your hands are up. What's up, Justin? What do you got to say?
I want to use your guys' points against you. Because the question is, who's the most important Raptor, right?
Yo,
so as you mentioned,
we're on
right?
the same wavelength today.
I don't think you should like that.
I don't know. I'm yeah. about to say like the same thing,
but,
I think.
Look,
I'm worried for you.
You're talking about how Pascal's the best player, right? Understandable. He's going to get double teamed, right? But who's going to take advantage of that double team? That's why a guy like Fred.
I didn't bring up the double team.
But I'm telling you.
Who's
going to
take advantage of that?
But that tells you the guy who's getting double team is the most important guy, because it's up to him how he reacts to the double team, right? So if he's getting double team, he can easily take that contested shot with two defenders on him or give a really bad pass out. Okay. But how he reacts to being the focal point of the other team's defense is the reason for other guys around him to be better. So that tells you it's not just Pascal being good, but if he's being good, the teams around him is good too. So that's why he's the most important player.
But I also think like the fact, and like taking what you said, the fact that we can trust him and that he is going to do well anyway is also why I went with Fred to be the most important guy, because you can trust Pascal. And with that, then it's on Fred to be the one to be able to move the ball.
Can
around.
You, though? Because we've seen...
We've seen numerous fourth quarters
this season, where Pascal
yes.
Siakam has disappeared.
That's why I
that's
need him.
He's the most
that's
important
why I need,
Raptor.
And I've seen, and also the whole NBA, like the media and fans have asked themselves, is Pascal really that dude when it comes to playoffs? Aside from that finals run, right? But as of late, right? From the bubble... To when we made the playoffs last year and things of that nature. Remember last year when Embiid hit that shot over us, who didn't show up that game? Unfortunately, it was Pascal, right? And we needed him that game. Mm-hmm. It was a must win, obviously. Every playoff game is a must win. But I'm saying he didn't really show up that matchup. So that's an example of a game where we can't afford that, right? Moving forward, we can't, because it's the plan in the playoffs. So I'm looking at Pascal, and if he wants, because people like him, but I don't think people... aside from Raptors, you know, fans, and media.
Strike,
I don't think they, yeah, I don't think the respect fear. Is really there. I don't
does
think
he,
so.
He strike
so,
fear.
I don't think he does in terms of like people don't think of Pascal Siakam as that dude. So I want to see him prove it. I just want to see him prove it. And I know he can.
Any agreement with that?
I have.
You know
no,
what's crazy
no
though?
Problems.
Like I thought someone would bring up maybe OG or no. Gary, but it looks like we're pretty split on
no, like,
the two main guys.
I think Gary also we're gonna need him too, because I think again when he scores those 20 points, we win games, right?
Yeah.
He's an automatic W whenever.
But
he
also
concept.
The thing about
yes,
score
it's
points,
true.
Win games.
The thing about Gary is he's hurt right now too,
yeah,
right?
So.
And we don't know how he's. And I honestly think if the Raptors can get him back a couple games before the play-in tournament starts, that's going to be a really big thing, because if he comes back game one of the play-in, he's going to be rusty, right? And, you know, as a shooter, you need to find that rhythm and stuff like that. And he could be chucking up a whole lot of bricks, because we know he can. If he does not in rhythm, if he's in rhythm and in fine form shooting, watch out, because he can make a whole bunch of shots.
And his defense improved. You
he's,
know,
he's not a great
year,
on-ball defender, but he's a disruptor
no,
on
he's
defense.
Exactly.
He's
after OG went down in January, who was leading the steals for the Raptors?
Yeah,
he was
a disruptor.
It was Gary Trent Jr. You never expected that. Not just a disruptor, but like we've seen that clip too, where he doesn't know how to play defense, but he's just yelling at the other guys on the team. And Chris is like, that's his level of, that's what yeah. he calls defense for himself. So I think this is an interesting conversation, because it can be either or. It could be Freddie or it could be Pascal, because we all know how important both can be for that team in different ways. But I'm going to stick to my guy, Pascal Vigilani. You guys can stick to Freddie. We'll see if either of them can be the guys for us in the next couple of games, where the Raptors take on the Celtics tonight, to take on the Celtics again on Friday, and then the Bucks at home, which is going to be a little bit tough. But let's see who gets us over the hump. This has been Hoop Talks.
The NBA's regular season is coming to a close, and there's a lot to talk about. So let's talk about it here on Hoop Talks. What's up, guys? It's your boy, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, here with Noor Zainab, Justin Pooney, and, oh, who's beside me? Oh, that is Kareena Mustafa. That is Miss WNBA. This is Miss WNBA, Miss NBA, Miss whatever, okay? Tennis, everything. Okay, everything. That is Kareena Mustafa. What's up, Kareena?
I love the intros today. This has been fun.
You're feeling good? You're on Hoop Talks? Okay, this
They never treat me like this, by the way.
We're going to make you feel comfortable today. Guys, the NBA season has been great. This, regular season, a lot of storylines, a lot of discussion. So let's dive into it, okay? Let's start, though, with disappointments, okay? Because there's always a fraud out there. You guys know me in Fraud Watch, right? But I want to know your Fraud Watch. So what is one team? Who's a team that you're looking at and saying to yourself, man, what happened there? I'll start with Kareena since Kree is joining us today. Kree?
That's great. You start with the person who has no preparation for it.
That's okay. I know you're born ready.
I have an answer. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
Because I think that there was a lot of hype around them for the start of the season. Obviously, like, Zion being injured has been really, like, a bummer, if I'm going to describe it in a way. They are going to probably make the play-in. But I think that I maybe had them a little bit higher, just with, like, all the parity that we have in the West right now. Like, you have, I know you're going to touch on it, but the Sacramento Kings at, like, third in the West right now, which is absolutely, like, awesome. But I think, like, you know, Brandon Ingram has been really good for the Pelicans lately, so hopefully he can maybe will them to make some trouble in the play-in. But I think overall in this season, it maybe hasn't gone the way that I would have expected.
I think to push back on that a little bit.
Oh, no.
You know, come on.
Allowed to push back.
Why I'm not putting the Pelicans in the biggest disappointment factor is because of injuries, like you mentioned, right? Zion's played 29 games. Brandon Ingram's played 42 games, right? That's a huge chunk of time both those guys have missed. They were a top four team in the Western Conference before Zion got hurt, right?
Well, I'm not blaming them. It's more of like I'm disappointed that it, like, I'm disappointed that it ended up being like that for them because I think that team could have been like
they were,
really
remember,
good.
They were top three in the West and top four in
it's
the
It's not
West
really a blaming thing because you can't like predict injuries.
Really,
you know?
Yeah.
My disappointment really pains me to do this. But there's a caveat because the season's not over yet. There's still 5 days left in the regular season. It's Dallas Mavericks right now.
I thought you believed in them like 2 days ago.
Can you let me? Hold on.
I watched you say you believe in the Dallas Mavericks.
Again, you didn't let me finish my statement. It's my turn right now. It's my statement right now. This has a caveat to change. If the Dallas Mavericks don't make the play-in, which I still think they will.
They're not.
Then it's a disappointment. That's my biggest disappointment if they don't make, because they were a top four seed in the Western Conference when they acquired Kyrie Irving, and now they're not even in the play-in. Right? That is a major league disappointment. But I still do believe they will make the play-in. I think Kareena's New Orleans Pelicans will drop out of the play-in and the Mavericks will get in. But if they don't, that's the biggest disappointment. But the one right now also is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Why would you have to?
Oh, so two
teams. You were only
teams.
Allowed
wow.
one. Oh, my thunder right
oh.
there, man.
So tell us why. Tell us why.
The baton from here. Thank
yes.
you so
yeah,
much.
Tell us why.
Before he took my thunder and my answer, I was going to be like, nobody mentioned the Timberwolves. Let me come here hot. But no, he couldn't
Sports
take the spotlight.
Great minds think alike.
No. Anyway, this is actually insulting, if anything. But for me, it's Timberwolves because they had such a great season last year. And then they had their offseason. They brought in a guy like Rudy Gobert and not just brought him in, but they gave up a lot to get him. It was one of the biggest fleeces in NBA history, just based off of what Utah Jazz could get out of that, but also what the Timberwolves couldn't do with getting Rudy Gobert on the squad. You had Kat, you had D'Angelo Russell, you had Anthony Edwards, and you had Rudy Gobert, the back-to-back defensive player of the year, and now you're barely making it above ninth seed. And they got to a point where they had to make a trade with the Lakers at the trade deadline too, because things just weren't working out for them. So that, I think, is a BS mode of how things have gone for the Wolves.
To be fair, Kat was also hit with injuries.
Yeah, but it's like you got Rudy Gobert, you got
Clippers.
Kat, you got D'Angelo Russell. No, they're doing Pipe well.
Down. One team per person.
Yeah, he's naming off all the West. I would probably look at I like the Pelicans take. I do. And yes, injuries have, you know, really shattered what could have been like a top three seed for them. But I think the Pelicans, especially if they miss the play-in, we'll see. I do expect them to make noise with health moving forward with Zion. But let's move to, you know, some positives, okay? Let's look at teams that might have surprised you this year. We're going to start over there with Noor. Noor, tell us.
I won't take your thunder.
Oh, go
ahead, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to, I honestly will say, I think for me, it would have to be the Cavaliers. What they did with bringing in Donovan Mitchell, having the backcourt they already have with Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and having a team put together where you no longer feel like something's missing. Like, all they were missing was Donovan Mitchell, and having him brought in to be part of a young team, being the guy that obviously kind of lacked defense back in the day, but they now paired him with a squad that has the defensive abilities to kind of take care of whatever he lacks in that end. And now look at him. He doesn't have to play defense, and he's having the best offensive year of his career. So for me, it's the Cavaliers.
28 points a game. But I'm going to go with light the damn beam.
Light it.
Sacramento Kings in a division where they have the defending NBA champion, the Golden State Warriors. Everybody's favorite team in the preseason, the Los Angeles Clippers, who think they're finally going to break through. The only thing they're breaking through is breaking ground on that new stadium that's got the most toilets NBA history. They got LeBron James and the LA Lakers in their division. But it was the Sacramento Kings.
No love for the Suns?
Oh yeah, the Suns too. They're in that division. Oh, they're in that division too.
Bro, come on, man.
We know divisions are.
He had to mention LeBron.
The divisions in the NBA are just as relevant as referees in the WWE. They're completely irrelevant, right? But look, in that division, the Sacramento Kings have the best record. They are the Pacific Division champions. De'Aaron Fox, All Star. Domantas Sabonis, All Star. Mike Brown will be the NBA coach of the year.
Yep.
This team is exciting. They play fast basketball. They have a rabid fan base. I cannot wait for game one of the first round series, where it is the Lakers taking on the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento.
Okay.
Where this LeBron will beat them in the first round, but that's just LeBron. But the Sacramento Kings, best story in the NBA.
Okay. I see it. I see the vision. Light the beam. Cree.
I'll move back to the East and I'll say the New York Knicks. I think arrival of Jalen Brunson and the way he's performed for them, and they are fifth in the East right now. I think they've had a really impressive season considering where they've been. They did make the Eastern Conference Finals that one year against the Hawks, and then it kind of felt like they fell off, and it was like, what was their direction? There was all this like Julius Randle slander, and then they were able to bring in a guy like Jalen Brunson. You have Emmanuel Quickley also performing really well. I think this season has been a success for them so far, and I'm excited to see what they do in the playoffs.
I could really see that. I like what the Knicks did. I think Brunson was arguably the best signing in the offseason.
Luka
misses him. Yeah. He does.
I was down here in tears.
Yeah. He misses he misses him a lot. But now let's just touch real quick before we end off. Okay, we don't talk about the poor teams in this league at all, okay? We don't give them any time of day here on Hoop Talks. Let's do it this time, okay? Let's look at Victor, okay? Victor Wembanyama, obviously, he is going to be a game changer when he gets in this league. So I want to know from you guys, what team would you want to see him end up with? Okay, we're going to start with Justin.
With me? Oh, yeah, thank you. Honestly, I need him in Charlotte. Mm. Him and LaMelo, that combo. Now, I will say this, though. It's an interesting thing about Victor Wembanyama that is coming. It came across my mind, right? Which 7'5" guy, those big guys, other than Shaq, have really stayed healthy throughout their whole career, right? I'm very concerned that, you know, with because he's going to be playing on the perimeter in a league where, you know, people are going to try to put bodies on him and stuff like that. I'm worried about that. But barring any injury, I want to see him and LaMelo and Charlotte. I think that would be a dynamic.
But to that point, I think that's why I would like him with the Spurs, because I want him to
be
part of
the took my answer.
The second you said that, I was like, that's a clear-cut way for me to come right in. But if you want him to stay healthy and be part of a good system, the Spurs.
Yeah. I was going to say.
What happened to Kawhi and his injury history with the Spurs, though?
I need Wemby to be.
I don't want to talk about that.
Wemby needs to be the new face of the San Antonio Spurs.
And something for Pop, like Pop's next project, you know? I think he needs that.
I'm in agreement with that. I think the Spurs, it just works. You know what I mean? Like, they had David Robinson, Tim Duncan,
Kawhi
Victor.
Leonard.
You know, I'm looking at the bigs, though. I'm looking at the bigs. You know what I mean? I'm looking at the bigs.
Okay, but if Detroit gets the first pick, they have James Wiseman. Do they get Wembanyama too?
Yeah. Why not? Because he could play. You could put him, you know, anywhere.
If I'm the Pistons, I might trade down, acquire some more first-round picks. Maybe get Scoot or maybe Brandon Miller and get some more first-round picks.
I don't think they would do that. I don't think if you, especially if you get the one.
You can get Wemby.
If you get the one, I don't think so.
I got my NFL GM cap on right now.
Well, this is the NBA. This is the NBA. But thank you guys for joining me today. It was great talks today. Some healthy conversation. We will see you guys next time here on Hoop Talks.
There's a saying I live and die by. Big time players come up big when it matters the most. And today we're going to be breaking down some of the most iconic performances in NBA history. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. I am Justin Pooney, Noor Zainab. Jelani Goodridge is almost in tears after that cold open. That's how
I love
much
it, bro. I love it.
You know, I struck a chord with him. And we're joined by the one, the only, Court Time's very own, the program's very own, Krina Mustafa. Thank you for joining us, Krina, on short notice.
Thank you, Justin. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, I switched it up. You thought I was going to be mean to you.
Yes, I did.
Now, guys, the NBA season is winding down. And we're coming up to the point in time where players set their legacies, where they make a name for themselves, where they make money and collect rings. The NBA playoffs are just around the corner. So today, we're going to be going through what was the most iconic masterclass, best performance you have ever witnessed in the NBA playoffs. And Krina, because you've entered into our house, we'll let you go first.
Okay. June 13, 2019, Kyle Lowry is a Toronto Raptor, and he scores the first 9 points in Game 6 of the NBA Finals versus the Golden State Warriors. You just knew that we were winning that. Like, we were taking it home. The joy that I felt watching him, like, just take over.
Yep.
Like, he is him. I miss him, Kyle Lowry, not going to lie. But that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, like, we are going to win an NBA championship. Like, that year, that summer was like the best year of my life. And just like seeing how all the puzzle pieces fit together, but then also having, like, it felt like every game we had like a masterclass from a Raptor player. Mm-hmm. Like, we had the Pascal game, we had the Fred game, and then this was like the Kyle Lowry game. So
Kawhi games.
Okay, well, yeah, the Kawhi series, multiple series. But it was just like, it was just a great way to cap off like the Raptors' history with having Kyle Lowry, and all of that work had built up to that moment where you could finally be like, we deserve it, and we finally got over all the like the hurdles we had to jump through.
And I just want to, the biggest takeaway from that game I felt was the sense of fittingness that the tone setter, the culture builder of those Toronto Raptors set the tone for that game where they eventually clinched the NBA title. Jelani, let's go with you next.
Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to point out, best time of my life. What a time to be alive. Drake said that one time. But yeah, for me, I'm looking at LeBron James. LeBron James, of course. You know why? He's the best player I've ever watched, okay? It's him and it's Kobe. We're gonna go 2018. We're gonna look at 2018. What a great year. J. Cole, he dropped a nice album that year. We're gonna go to Boston. Conference Finals.
The Parquet Court.
Yes. Set the stage, Justin.
On a journey with Jelani.
And this was a run where, remember, the Cavs coming off of a really good year as a 2017 team, but the 2018 team wasn't that great. It was LeBron. Okay, Game 7 in Boston. He gave these men work, okay? Boston could not handle him. Al Horford the other day just came out and said, he was talking about this game, and he said it was disturbing how LeBron came out that game, okay? He gave them 35, 15, and 9.
Say it again.
35, 15, and 9, okay? He gave them that 50%. From the field. This was a game where, because I was watching it and I was wondering, is Boston actually going to get over this LeBron hump, because they had lost the year before to the Cavs. And I was watching it, I was like, damn, they can't stop him. They cannot stop him. He's truly something special. And I thought that this was a game that solidified that run, because I knew going into that NBA Finals they weren't going to win, right? But I felt like this was one of the moments where, like, you saw the clip just now, how he's getting held back, that, and he was yelling after that. I felt like this was a moment where LeBron said, I am him. I am him. And you can't do anything about it. The Boston Celtics could not do anything about it. That, to me, was one of the best moments in LeBron's career, because that run, and I say it, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think 2018 Bron is the best Bron. I think that's the best version of him. That is me. And I think that is what you think about. You think about that game one in the finals, and you think about that moment right there.
Are you going to go Marcus Smart? Any Marcus Smart games?
I easily could have. Actually, I was thinking about OG? That, too. This one, OG? A couple good ones. Okay, you guys are so funny. You guys Blake are so
Griffin.
Hilarious.
Blake Griffin.
May I get to my point? He's been doing really well. I'm not going to lie. he's been killing it, all right? But for me, who amongst you guys here can say that your favorite player for your favorite team had a him moment and put them over the top to win the NBA championship? Was he your favorite player, Jelani?
Steph Curry
I don't think
will
so.
Be a Raptor in Toronto.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, LeBron's had a lot
call
of him
me,
moments.
Call me when that happens in 10 years. But right now, the reason why Kawhi is my main guy was not just because he's my favorite player, because it was on the Toronto Raptors. It was what he did. After we played the Orlando Magic, lost the first one, the Raptor fans were in disarray. Like, oh, here we go again. Another year full of disappointments. Of course we lose to the Magic, even with Kawhi on the roster. And as you said, in the finals, we had everybody come through. And Pascal, and Fred, and obviously Kyle Lowry. Even against the Bucks, you saw some big games from Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet. But it was Kawhi Leonard. During the Philly series, had he not been there, I don't think we make it over the Phillies hump. There's no way.
Yeah.
We pushed to seventh, and may I just show you this, okay?
Yes.
Of those seven games, Kawhi Leonard had team high in five of those games. Game one, 45 points. Game two, 35 points. Mm. Game four, 39 points.
Okay.
Game six, 29 points. Dang. Game seven, 41 points. And that was also the game with the dagger, might I add. And then the series after with the Bucks, we go down 2-0 in Milwaukee, of all places. Depressing. You come back, and you know what Kawhi says? He enters a locker room, looks at Nick Nurse dead in the eye, and goes, the adjustment here is I take on Giannis. They go back home, and that's the end of it. He was leading the series, entering into that with points, left that series against the Bucks reigning in points, and then we win the NBA championship.
What is that?
I've never seen a run like that.
One of the best playoff performances in NBA history that year with Kawhi Leonard. And I think the game, everybody talks about the game seven shot, right? But that game four in Philly where they were down 2-1 and Kawhi puts a get on my back and we will go back home tied. Yep. Amazing, amazing performance. And I'm surprised I actually agree with you on that.
Me too. Wow.
But it would be hard to disagree.
You can't.
Yes.
It would make it look incredible. Sorry, it's your time now. My bad.
So I came up with this segment idea.
My bad. It's
right?
This guy's so happy to talk about this. He's so happy.
You got 3 minutes.
These two games, these two performances, excuse me, after I watched each one of them, I said, that is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen play the game of basketball before.
Talk to us.
Number one, producer Sean has the clips lined up and ready. Mm. Number one, Kobe Bryant, 2010 Western Conference Finals. The date was May 29th, 2010 at the U.S. Airways Arena, whatever the hell they used to call it back in the day. Kobe Bryant had 37 points, 12 for 25, shooting 48% from the field, and hit some of the stupidest shots you will ever see in NBA history. An absolute assassin. Look at this right here. Two guys on, pump fake, fadeaway, bang.
Bang.
Look at that face. That's a killer mentality. This right here might be one of the greatest shots of all time. Grant Hill is all over him, and he still hits it.
Nothing but net.
It gives Alvin Gentry a tap on the butt on the way back to the bench. What Kobe Bryant did, that he had the Phoenix crowd cheering for him after he was hitting shots as he was killing their team and moving on to the NBA Finals, winning his fifth title. What Kobe Bryant did in that game, I actually listened and watched the game highlights last night. Doug Collins was on the call, and the fact that he was flabbergasted, he was shook as to what Kobe was doing that night, absolute masterclass. And the second one, back in Boston.
Yes.
6 years previous, though.
Yes.
The same guy, LeBron James in Miami, after he choked, the chosen one became the frozen one in Dallas. Shout out to Skip Bayless for that iconic line. What did he do, Jelani? 45 points. 15 rebounds against the this is the big three Boston Celtics, maybe a big four Boston Celtics with Rajon Rondo hitting threes. Just absolute killer mentality. He was shot 9 for 26, 73% from the field, 50% from from the three-point line. Mm. Guys.
Shout out StatMuse.
The best performances I've ever seen in my life. those two guys right there, I have never seen basketball played at that elite level. On the road, in hostile environments, conference finals, back against the wall. There is nothing and no one that could ever repeat those performances right there.
That sounded just like Kawhi, too. Conference finals, back against the wall, on the road. Turns around. I'm just saying.
I'm going to get emotional right now. I'm going to watch Kobe Bryant and LeBron highlights after this.
Honestly, me too. I need to go watch the Kawhi run again.
This has been my favorite segment of Hoop Talks of all time.
I wonder why.
I like your choices. I remember watching those. I remember.
I want to thank you all for listening to this. If you disagree, drop your favorite ones in the comments below. We'll be sure to check them out. This has been Hoop Talks.